Welcome back to Affiliated, hosted by ClickBank. I am your co-host, Thomas McMahon, brought to you as well by, I'm going to have to start calling you our regular recurring co-host, Lauren, because this is like your fourth or fifth or sixth or seventh episode. I'm not quite sure, but we keep bringing you back. Lauren Lee, our senior director of e-commerce business. And joining us remotely is Mr. Benjamin Wong, who I'm very excited to chat with today and for you all listeners to meet, especially if you've got audiences and people on your list that might be parents, which a lot of you do, because hey, how many of us have kids? Quite a few of us. And Ben is going to be walking us through his business, Kidpreneur, which I'm excited for him to correct me where I'm wrong, because when I think of Kidpreneur, I think of a lot about solopreneurship and entrepreneurship, but Kidpreneurship is a cool, exciting thing that I assume is not just lemonade stands. And Ben, I'd love for you to fill us in about maybe you were a Kidpreneur and how you got to be running the company of Kidpreneur.
Oh yeah, I'm super excited to be here with you guys and talk to your audience. So my kind of entrepreneurial journey, you're right, I was a Kidpreneur back when I was, I think it was 11, 10 or 11 when I got started. And it started just from selling avocados on my street corner to buy these little Funko Pops. And that one, you know, afternoon with my friends, I kind of kicked off the rest of my entrepreneurial journey. I did podcasting for a bit. I had an event that I hosted in 2021 for Kid Entrepreneurs. And then through all of those adventures, got to know Adam and Matthew Torin, the founders of Kidpreneurs. And ever since like January 23, I've been kind of running the show at Kidpreneurs. And we've just been empowering kids, you know, across the world with our books, courses, events, all that good stuff.
And I hope this isn't insensitive of me, but may I ask your age, Ben?
Yes, I am 17 now.
I love it. So you yourself are a Kidpreneur, and yeah, I love it. And a C-level, I don't know what, I'm trying to think of like a fun kid version of C-level, but a K-level.
Wait, can I pump up Ben for just 1 second? I need everybody to just know what my experience has been. Ben, you were and are one of the most incredible people I've ever had the chance to work with. And I'm not just saying this because you're on the podcast. I'm not just pumping your tires just to do it. Honestly, you got your offer on ClickBank up and running in a remarkable amount of time with the least amount of friction and everything that we asked you to do. You were like, yep, got it. Yep, figured it out. Yep, I know. You even were, you know, like communicating with our sales engineer and he was like, wow, like this guy really knows his stuff. And I'm like, well, he's a senior in high school. So I think like we need to hire him ASAP, but no, I'm just kidding. No, you are incredible. You're really just so professional and we're so excited to have you on the podcast and to support you. And it was really, it's been such a pleasure working with you. And I just wanted you to know that.
Thank you, Laura. That means it's a lot to me. And I'm surprised you said that we did it fast. I was like,
oh, so fast.
I was like, that makes me very relieved to hear that we did this whole process very, very fast.
Yes. Very impressive. Incredibly impressive. Yeah. So I know the audience is really going to get a lot of valuable information from you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And with that, all of our millennial and Gen X and boomer listeners are now terrified of being replaced by the Gen Z, Gen Alpha, whatever Gen you are, Ben. So, which we should be. So I love it. I'm curious, like what got you kind of inspired to start working and teaching kids about entrepreneurship? Like what kind of led you down this path? And you mentioned Adam and the co-founders and all that. Like what really got you riled up and excited to jump into this?
Yeah. So I think what got me into like the teacher kind of part of it was back to the avocado story. After I did that a few times, I was just buying all these Funko Pops. And at a certain point, I was like, I kind of lost interest in it. But I was like, I still enjoy that part of, you know, selling the avocados and making money. But I was like, what's a more kind of productive use of this money? So when I was 11, on my 11th birthday, I got started in stock trading. And so I just had a little custodial account on TD Ameritrade, RIP TD Ameritrade, it's gone now. But I just had a little custodial account. My dad gave me $100 for my birthday to start investing. And through that, like, I fell in love with investing. And so what I would do was, when I went to school, I'd like tell my friends, you know, if they had like Nike shoes, I like was a partner in Nike. Like I owned Nike, even if I had like a $1 share of it. And that kind of got me into like wanting to get other friends involved in it. And at a certain point, I had a ton of friends asking me like, hey, I want to do this too. How can I do that? And so this was also around the time when COVID happened, so early 2020. And so when 2020, when I think it was like March 16th, when everything closed down, I was like, hey, I have a lot of free time now. And with that free time, I had thought of the idea for a podcast a few years prior, but I just never had time to go about it. When everything kind of shut down, I had my opportunity. And so in 2020, I think from like April or March all the way to the end of the year, I did one episode a week for my podcast talking about, you know, finance, investing, entrepreneurship. I even kind of went into things like cryptocurrency. NFTs weren't a thing yet, but cryptocurrency was. Cryptocurrency, even like technologies like, you know, what are GMO foods? And that kind of got me into like teaching what I learned to others. And after that, everything kind of just came at me. So I did another podcast with Adam and Matthew Torn called Young Trep, where it was a similar idea with Kid CEO, my first podcast, but instead we did it more guest style, where we had a ton of really great guests come on. And the whole idea was teaching kids how to build an entrepreneurial lifestyle. So we had a sleep coach come on. We had exercise coaches, organization coaches come on. Many entrepreneurs, even an NBA athlete came on. It's talking about different aspects of building an entrepreneurial lifestyle. So when it came to, you know, being able to work with Kidpreneurs and use their platform to continue amplifying my message, it was a perfect opportunity.
Well, I have to pick your brain then. I have two questions for you. One, what do you think adults get wrong about entrepreneurship that you're like, you all need to know and stop doing? And number two, what do you think kids, what do you think some of the elements of entrepreneurship are really important for kids?
So on the first question, I think a big thing that many adults and even friends I know who are starting companies get kind of messed up with entrepreneurship is that they create a business for the sake of creating a business. So, you know, the first things are setting up your LLC or getting, you know, filing corporation documents or getting the trademark. And then you do all that stuff to only realize, hey, either, you know, I chose a business that never made sense, but now I'm stuck with $2,000 in legal fees for all this business stuff I set up. I think that's probably the biggest thing most people, kids and adults, kind of get messed up with in starting a business, is just starting a business for the sake of starting a business, not starting with either just a project. If you're building an app, just building a project first, or if you're building a, you know, a food company, just creating a prototype first, or using your home kitchen to create a product. I think that's the thing I most commonly see. And then for kids, I think the biggest thing with entrepreneurship is just kind of having fun with it. Like, and it's a very kind of fine line that we try to communicate with parents, is it's really important to teach your kids entrepreneurship. However, there's also a time where it becomes just another chore or extracurricular, just like, you know, going to a math tutor or whatever. And the biggest thing for us is we want kids to be exposed to entrepreneurship, but we don't want the entrepreneurship to just become another extracurricular or chore or thing for college, because then it will forever kind of make entrepreneurship a bad thing to these kids, which is, you know, the complete opposite of what we actually want to do. So I would just say, you know, the biggest thing for us in teaching entrepreneurship is making it really, really fun for the kids.
I love that. And, you know, one thing that I wanted to ask you is, like, you had a really solid foundation of affiliate marketing when we started to connect with one another. And I'm curious, where did you get your information and entry points into affiliate marketing? And maybe how do you speak about that to people today?
Yeah, really just a lot of Google. Like, I think I've built very small businesses. I wouldn't even call them businesses, but for a long time, like for the past 4 or 5 years. And even before that, my family business, I was always, you know, very involved with them. And so even when I wasn't directly involved with building a business, I was in a room where that was discussed. And something that's always discussed with any business is affiliate marketing. And so even when I was maybe like 13, 12, 14, I think I might have been even that young when I was like helping my parents set up an affiliate tool to sell their products. But I think really when we wanted to start affiliate marketing with Kidpreneurs, it was like last year. It was something relatively high up on our priority list, just because a lot of people asked for it. Like, we get replies and emails saying, hey, you know, I want to share this. Can I, you know, how can I? And so just very organically, because of that amount of interest, I just went on Google, you know, learned what is affiliate marketing. Most importantly for me when learning anything is who are the most successful people who've done it and how can I kind of steal from them. So who are the most successful people who've done things with affiliate marketing, and then just kind of backtracking from there into how can we build something for us that's also relatively simple, not something that's going to be a major time commitment for us. And so that was the start, and we just did a super simple affiliate program. Now we're on ClickBank, obviously, and so yeah, it's been a very cool journey.
And what, so would, can you explain a little bit maybe your main customer acquisition flow right now, and then how affiliate marketing is layering into how you're acquiring customers?
Yeah, so our main flows right now are all through Facebook. Facebook's been, I think, historically our most reliable traffic stream. Just ads, you know, funnels, all that good stuff. And we've tried a lot of different things. Facebook's always just kind of been our biggest one. And so affiliate marketing is really fascinating to me because it's a completely different world. Like Facebook ads, it's really, you know, even all ads, Google ads, YouTube ads, upload media, you run ads, you get, you know, your stats and you improve from there. But affiliate marketing is very different because it's more now about like empowering a group of people who are going to go promote this product for you. And so it's a really different thing. And it's been a really cool experience so far, just creating resources for affiliates and just seeing like articles pop up when I search up Kipreneurs talking about the products and stuff. But ideally the hope is that affiliate marketing becomes a really, really big traffic stream at some point as well, to kind of supplement a lot of that Facebook as well.
And what made, I guess, now kind of the time to tackle affiliate marketing for your business?
We were looking for, so at the beginning of this year, we were looking for some creative ways to start branching out. And so we had an affiliate program, but it was very, like, my level of commitment on an hourly basis, once we set that up, was very small. And so it was just we had it there, you could sign up if you wanted to, that was that. But beginning of this year, I sat down with Adam and Matthew, and we were like, what are some new ways that we could try getting new customers and reaching new audiences? And Adam actually mentioned ClickBank specifically was like one of the top three things that we had on that list. And so, yeah, it was kind of like a New Year's resolution almost. New Year's resolution, expand out to ClickBank.
How do you typically evaluate an affiliate or an affiliate partnership? Like you're like, okay, I know this is going to work for me. I know it's going to work for my business. Or if it's not how you evaluate your affiliates, how do you recommend to another business start evaluating affiliates and if they're going to work for you?
I think it's really just the aligning audiences. When we're looking at an affiliate, the best ones that are like, wow, this would be a great person, are not necessarily the biggest ones, but just a mom who has a blog about, you know, empowered parenting, and maybe she has 500 followers on Instagram, but that's a really engaged audience that's very aligned with our target audience. So I think that's the biggest thing for me and for us, and that I'd recommend for others, is just really making sure that the audience of affiliates really aligns up with yours. That's the biggest thing, because I think we haven't experienced this yet, but I would imagine one of the more challenging parts of affiliate and evaluating affiliates is finding a lot of these affiliates that are really massive, but just don't have that much alignment with your audience. And I think that's where sometimes the friction comes between, you know, that's a lot of where friction comes with like underperforming stats, is when there's a massive audience, but the alignment isn't there. And it doesn't matter what you can do, the audience isn't in match, it doesn't work. And so I think that's the biggest thing I'd recommend to anyone, is just making sure that affiliates, their audience just really matches up with yours.
And in your experience, how have you been able to find affiliates? Like, I feel like oftentimes people are like, how do I find them? Like, how am I going to get connected to them? Like, what has been your experience with that?
Number one thing is just leveraging your existing customers. That's the first thing we did when we launched our affiliate program, was just sending an email to all our customers and saying like, hey, I know you've all been waiting for this for a long time, and it's finally here. You can all, you know, come start, sign up for a link. It's super easy, and you can start, you know, being able to earn from sharing this product that you are already sharing with your friends. I think that's the biggest thing, because out of every customer base, or out of every potential affiliate demographic, the most engaged one who knows your product like the back of their hand and who is motivated to sell it is just your own customers. So I think that's been the biggest one. And then two, really just kind of finding organically blogs, podcasts, YouTube channels that are in our parenting realm. Luckily, the parenting niche is not small. It's pretty big, but it's relatively homey. Like everyone's kind of somewhat connected. So, but I think the biggest thing for anyone is really just leveraging existing customers or existing, you know, certified educators is a program we have, or leveraging existing franchisee partners or things like that.
You brought up some great things there. I'd love to re-highlight for people a bit, which is that you kind of touched on this. It's like that affiliate avatar, which we talk, a lot of brands have their customer avatar, their customer ICP, but very few take the time to think through like, who is our ideal affiliate and why are they an ideal affiliate? And thinking through like, what would make that a good fit as you're building out the program. And you'll refine it as you try to recruit affiliates and fail and succeed and refine and get better. And then, yeah, that referral program from like existing customer base to affiliate program or performance and like everything in between is where you can really start to grow with that and start to expand on the types of affiliates you're onboarding and working with, which is where things can get really exciting and start to scale there. I'm curious, like, has there been anything that, any misconceptions you realize you had about affiliate marketing and using affiliates that you've come to realize that, oh, I was wrong about this and it's this way? Or has it been relatively smooth, kind of like as you'd expect the journey to roll out?
I think what surprised me most was how motivated and enthusiastic so many of these affiliates were. Because for me, it's like I live in this product, and it's like now all these people are coming to us saying, hey, I'm just as excited and I want to share. And that was really interesting to me. That was really surprising to me, was just the amount of passion and motivation that so many of these affiliates had for sharing the product.
That's great. And then when you look at kind of the campaigns that have already been happening with you, has there been any like ones that jump out to you as like surprising successes? You're like, wow, that went really well.
Not yet. I mean, I think we've been up on a ClickBank for a few weeks now. So I haven't had any yet, but
this could be past ones too, with off ClickBank stuff. Just like as you've launched into this affiliate space, has there been like those little things where like, oh, okay, this is going better or worse than we expected?
Yeah. One really well-performing audience, affiliate audience for us is we have this program called Certified Educators. It's a bunch of usually our most engaged customers who sign up to kind of use our curriculum to teach in their own, either it's a tutoring program or it's a online camp that they already run, and kind of embedding Kidpreneurs into all their existing products. And so that has been surprisingly a really good success story for affiliates. We find that oftentimes, you know, especially then those that have physical locations or already existing, you know, large audience bases, I think they usually do best with getting the product out there very seamlessly, embedding it very seamlessly. And it usually, I think, does pretty well revenue-wise. And again, the biggest part is there's a really high ROI because they already have that, either it's a location and they just put up a little flyer there, or it's an online thing and they send an email. I think that's been a pretty good success story for us.
And on the other side of it, what's been some, I guess, the biggest friction points in moving into the affiliate space and building this program? What are some things that you're like, oh, I wish this would have been easier, that we could have moved faster on if I would have known X?
That's a good question. I think it's a hard one because we're just so early on that I haven't figured out yet exactly what we need to start iterating. I think right now our biggest thing is just conversions. I will say this. I think one thing that will be very, I foresee as a potential friction point soon, is how much our landing page, we just duplicated our existing landing page, you know, changed up some stuff for compliance, how that translates over. I think that'll be something that'll be a working point at some point. Obviously, what we did was the easiest, least friction point was just duplicating it over. But I think that'll be the next big challenge for us is, how can we iterate that landing page specifically for affiliate audiences?
Yeah, that can often be a one to model, right? Because even if you're running colder traffic from Facebook to your thing, right? That's maybe a campaign that's worked for a while. And now you've got something that's really cold traffic, potentially, even if it's warm traffic, that affiliate cold traffic to your brand, how do you get that converting day zero kind of thing? So yeah, no, that can certainly be a friction point there. But gosh, hearing you chat, I don't think you'll have any problem navigating that compared to some other people that can get stuck in those weeds. Lauren, I was hoping you could jump in on this next one.
Yeah, actually on this topic, I'm curious what you use or what you would recommend to somebody to use to help monitor your affiliate campaigns. You know, what tools, what data points, what are you looking at when you're looking at, is this a successful you know, traffic coming from affiliate. I think that's really useful because sometimes people do get stuck and they're like, I don't know, actually know where to move from here.
Yeah, I mean, I've so far found just that built-in clickbait reporting tool is pretty cool. You know, I'd also say a good tool for a lot of affiliates is, there's a lot of them, I won't name a specific one, but the tools that help you, you just embed it in a landing page and you can, they're like heat maps for a landing page. I won't name a specific one. I don't even know them off the top of my head. I think those would be really cool tools for so many affiliates on the note of landing pages, just to really be able to see exactly where you're missing people, where the hotspots are. I think because engagement obviously is a really, really important of conversion, part of conversion. So I'd say any of those tools kind of are essential for affiliates.
And are there specific data points you're looking at? Like, I don't, you can name like the tool name. Like, I don't know if you don't know them, or we could put something in the show notes. We can ask you, because I think people are going to be curious. They're going to be like, okay, what are you using to evaluate these campaigns and to evaluate your affiliates? And then how do you know when you're supposed to scale and when you're supposed to say like, okay, you know, maybe the partnership isn't working.
Clarity is a good one. It's Microsoft, I think, owns them. They're a pretty good heat map tool. But after that, and the biggest thing for us is that we're just so early on in this process that I don't want to recommend something that's not going to end up working. But I think any of those, you can't go wrong with setting up one of those heat map tools and just using those to start iterating and improving. And again, it's one of those things is we're just so early on that I don't know exactly what has worked yet. And I don't want to give any false suggestions that later turn out to be false.
Yeah, it's a funny balance of like setting the right expectations with affiliates, and then some people just go the opposite route and just overpromise the moon, and this converts like gangbusters and pays out so much. And then it's like, well, yeah, maybe it did for one affiliate that you're going to cherry pick.
Yeah,
it's making exactly. It for everybody. So I do appreciate the candor there, right, and not wanting to overpromise metrics. What I'm curious, like where did you land when you started thinking like commission levels and how much can we pay to affiliates? Like, how did you come up with those initial commission structures and kind of where you're at now?
Yeah, so Kippreneurs, we have two main commission groups. We have our A group or general group, which is a 25% standard affiliate, and then we have a higher volume group for anyone who's has a really, really massive audience or has done just really well in the past, you know, with our offer. And the first one, I think, was really just what the market was. I think 25% is relative to the average. I'd say most people are at 25%. You guys are the experts at that, but I think 25% is pretty standard. And that for us just was a fair number. The product that we offer right now is a $45 product. So 25% of that is roughly, I want to say 14, 15, somewhere in that range. And so we thought that was just a fair number for getting affiliates on board. It's similar to our Facebook CPA levels. So that was also, you know, a good benefit there. And then, you know, for the higher affiliate group, 50%, whatever it takes to really incentivize that large audience. You know, obviously we want to be rewarding our best affiliates. But yeah, on the general side, it was really just what's out there. How can we just match that first, especially as this is our first time on ClickBank. What's already working out there? How can we match that? And then for our higher affiliate group, our VIPs, 50% was also, you know, a really good number for just keeping them really engaged and continuously excited.
Yeah, glad you mentioned that Facebook cost per customer acquisition cost, right? Because it's always a good place to start. Like, what's it currently cost us to acquire a customer? You know, kind of starting there and then going, okay, what's our LTV? What's the AOV? What do we have to pay to kind of match or beat that? How can we start to scale it? You know, the things are looking pretty interesting as you look at customer acquisition and break even. And yeah, how do we monetize this customer long term? And yeah, that's where things get really fun and start to scale in a fun way.
And I'd say this, 10 out of 10 times, I'd rather pay that customer acquisition cost to a real affiliate than just go through Facebook ads. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Zuckerberg has enough money, I think. Yeah. We can diversify that out a bit. What are some things that like kind of, I don't know if keep you up at night is the right term here, but like, so what are some things you're still like not quite sure about that you'd like more clarity on when you start thinking about this affiliate model?
I think just boundaries, kind of like what, we had a lot of people we chatted about, like Google Ads or other types of ads. Obviously, the ones that are always safer, you know, organic content, them sharing on their own media, their own newsletter. But I think that's the biggest thing that probably keeps me up. It's like, what are these affiliates doing exactly? But I think I've grown to trust a bit more in what they're all doing and to generally assume the best of all our affiliates. But I think that's probably the thing that keeps me up most is just knowing that there's all these affiliates who are, I mean, again, we all kind of know kind of what they're doing. They'll usually ask us, hey, can I run an ad about this? And I'm like, sure. But I think that's the thing that probably keeps me up most is just knowing that there's all these affiliates out there, real people that are finding very creative ways to promote.
Yeah, I like you said, very creative ways because that can mean a number of different things. But yeah, no, it's a common thing to be concerned about, right? I think it's a fair concern because you do give up control when you use affiliates, right? They're technically a 1099 salesperson for you, so they're not an employee. You can't monitor them super closely. They could be doing something that's against terms at some point, either intentionally or ignorantly, which at the end of the day doesn't really matter if it is potentially damaging to your brand. So I assume you're doing things like. If it's require approval on ClickBank, that way not anyone can just sign up and promote, but you have to kind of approve and vet them a little bit to kind of before they can promote. And then, yeah, having those clear terms and conditions on your affiliate recruitment resources. So then affiliates know, oh, maybe I can't promote this because this is my main traffic type would go against it, which saves everyone a bit of friction unless other than then just signing up and then realizing they can't kind of thing. So number of things you can be doing that I'm sure you are doing. But it's a very common thing, and I'm glad you're bringing it up because, yeah, I think a lot of brands think that, oh, we can't use affiliates because we have to control everything. It's like, no, there's some best practices you can employ that lets you play with affiliates in a controlled, more controlled manner. It does add some friction to monitoring the program, but at the end of the day, if you want to play in the space, it's totally doable.
Oh, yeah, and I think there's a good amount of upside that comes with giving away that freedom, too. Obviously, we have a small marketing team, so we have limited ideas that come out, but having all these affiliates who are all, they might run their own teams and or all their own media companies and getting their feedback and input as well. I think that it's been pretty interesting to see.
I think we can even link in the show notes, you know, you did an amazing job of putting together your affiliate tool page and being able to speak to affiliates. So we can even link to that and obviously link to the offer, but I think it'll be beneficial for people to see that. And while we're talking about your offer, I am super curious. I have to ask, like, what are some of the cool businesses that kids have created through your education series? Like, are there ones that stand out for you?
Yeah. By the way, on that affiliate page, I'm personally very proud of that, too. So
you did such a good job.
I hope everyone who listens checks it out because me and my designer, we spend a lot of time kind of making that as perfect as we can. but yeah, I mean, businesses kids have created. Most recently, one of our team members showed this to me like a day or two ago. We had a kid who I think it was our book, might have been the Academy, and she wrote this book. There's this little animal, like it's in Minecraft. It starts with like an A, this little sea creature, something like that. Starts with, yeah, I can't.
An axolotl, maybe?
Yeah, an axolotl. Yeah, an axolotl. And she created this entire book. About this axolotl, I think it was about bullying specifically and how this axolotl was facing bullying. And she even did a partnership with this, I can't remember the exact name of the nonprofit, but this nonprofit in Canada that helps combat bullying. And so, yeah, that was really cool to see. Like an entire book on Amazon that she published about this axolotl that is combating bullying. And then, you know, a lot of the proceeds as well went to this nonprofit. That was really cool to see. Another one we had, one of them that did, we have a lot of jewelry businesses, you know, the common arts and crafts businesses, obviously lemonade stand is the most cliche example, but a lot of jewelry businesses, I'm trying to think of one or two other very, very creative ones. We had one, trying to put my finger on it. Yeah, it's really, there's a lot of jewelry businesses, a lot of books that come out as well. A lot of books, a lot of jewelry businesses, someone did a vending machine business. Yeah, someone did a vending, that's one I was trying to figure out. Someone did a vending machine business. I think it was like a healthy snack vending machine business at like your school or something like that. I can't remember the exact details. But there's a lot of cool businesses that people create, both obviously the very small arts and crafts things, but also the very large ones. So someone even did a business that was purses, but the idea was that most purses today are very not functional for most women. So she created a new idea for a purse that could do just a lot more, and that was a lot more functional. But yeah, so many cool ideas.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you want to just take a minute and explain some of your products, and also that maybe explain the book and the academy for anybody listening? You know, what can they expect? What, how does it work?
Yeah, so the offer we have currently on ClickBank is our ultimate bundle. So it includes some of our best-selling products. It includes our Kipreneur's book that's been read, I think at this point, it's probably well over 250,000, maybe even more, probably significantly more people around the world. It includes that book. It includes our Kipreneur's workbook, which is even more amazing content, activities they can do, step-by-step instructions for creating their business. It includes the Kipreneur's audiobook. It includes our 50 Creative Business Ideas book as well. And these are all digital products, so we keep the price down for all the customers. But it's essentially a bundle of four of these products that basically takes kids through the initial stages of what is entrepreneurship, what is an entrepreneur, what is business, what is profit, with the Kipreneur's book, then follows up with, you know, let's actually put together your business, and then also has the 50 Creative Business Ideas book, so that if they're really stuck at the end of this, they can just go and find 50 creative ideas for every type of kid, for the kid who loves using their hands or the kid who loves drawing, arts and crafts. And then also the audiobook, so in case they want to refresh their mind when they're on the way to school or on a walk. So just the ultimate bundle for any kid to get started with entrepreneurship and actually go create their business. And then we also have the academy. At some point, we do want to move over to ClickBank, but it's not currently active. Maybe when someone's listening to this, it might be active. But it's our Kipreneur's Academy. It's a digital online academy full of a bunch of courses. Includes all our activities and books as well in digital form. And it's our entire suite of online courses that talk about, yes, entrepreneurship, but also things like creating content on social media. It talks about things like how someone can create their own book, or how someone, my personal favorite is one course I created, which is about how kids can do garage sale flipping. That's something I used to do, where I used to go to garage sales and like find little gems and resell them on eBay. And so we did an entire series on that, on how kids can go to thrift stores or garage sales and reflip items. But yeah, it's really just a all-in-one suite of these amazing tools.
Awesome. Thanks. And where can people best, if they want to see this, I assume we'll link to the your homepage, your sales page, and your affiliate resource page in the show notes here. But where else can people find you online, find Kidpreneurs? Like, where is the best place to go?
The best place to go would be kidpreneurs.org, KIDPRENEURS.org. Everything will be there. They can learn more about the academy, learn more about our story or different products that we have. That's the best place for everyone to go.
And last question, or maybe not the last question, because I'm sure Lauren has something to chime in with too, but I know you got to get going here. I'm just curious, like, how do you balance your time as a 17-year-old turning 18 soon, as a senior going to college, I assume, or maybe not, but like, how do you balance your time with being a quote-unquote kid and late teen and being a CEO? That seems like a lot, yeah.
It's a few things. I'd say the biggest thing for me, though, is just really having a clear idea of what I value most, and then kind of blocking my time based off of that. So I know for me, I value most spending time with my family and maintaining my health. So I always make sure to first, you know, prioritize exercise, going on walks, family time, and then two, also understanding and making sure that I don't spend too much time on things I don't need to spend time on. So I think I'm pretty decent at understanding which tasks require creativity and energy, and then also which tasks don't require that much, and where I don't have to go completely overboard to do a fantastic job. So I think that also keeps things really, really clear for me, is just understanding, okay, today I have, you know, 3 hours to set up this affiliate program. It'll require my energy. I'm going to do that. And then also knowing, hey, I also have this essay to write. I am already doing pretty well in this class. Do I need to spend a week doing this, or can I pretty much get most of it done in an hour and a half? And so I think it's really just a combination of all those things. A very clear understanding of what I value most, what I prioritize, and then just understanding, you know, what really needs to have the energy and what I can kind of get away with.
Ben, you're incredible. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day, your busy day, to spend time with us here at ClickBank. We're really proud of you. We're so excited to have you on our platform. I just want to say thank you so much. Any final words,
thank
Thomas?
You both.
I was going to say, I chat with a lot of entrepreneurs, Ben, a lot of solopreneurs and all that sort of stuff. And and you've got a very good head on your shoulders. I think they can take a lot of notes from you just on the outlook you've taken and like how do you, just that last question you answered, right? Like how do you actually tackle your day when it's busy and focus on what you need to focus on? The shiny object syndrome never stops. So it's keeping that clear goal in line. What matters most? How do you execute to it? Whether it's family, whether it's exercise, whether it's the thing that's most important in your business right now. So thank you for sharing that. And yeah, if anyone's listening to this, I'd love for you to promote Kidpreneurs as a product if you want to be an affiliate for it. Ben and team have a great thing going there. And we trust that we see them at the Platinum Summit soon or something like that. And then, Ben, yeah, is there any final thoughts you've got for us here?
No, just thank you both for having me on. It's been a really cool experience. And yeah, I hope all of you listening, check out the Kidpreneurs offer. We'd love to have you as an affiliate.
Yeah, I will certainly be checking out again. I remember chatting with Adam years ago now about the product. I was really excited about it. So I'm very happy that you've come back around and are now on ClickBank. We can see this rolling. And yeah, this is Affiliated. Thank you for listening, everybody. Benjamin Wong. Ben Wong is the CEO of Kidpreneurs, has dropped a lot of knowledge here and is wise beyond his age. So I don't think we can chalk up age as any other thing other than a number in both contexts there. Check us out on YouTube, Instagram, socials, leave us a like, a comment, let us know what you're thinking here, and email us at affiliated@clickbank.com. If you've got any questions for us, if you want us to review your affiliate lander, like Ben has put in his show notes here, anything we can do to help you in your affiliate program, we want to help out and assist with. So thank you, Lauren, for bringing Ben on. Ben, thank you for joining, and everybody, happy scaling.